While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, hour three of C2C on a Terrible Towel Tuesday with Carver, Ryan, Farrell in New York. And we go to the NLCS now after talking about the Yankees game two tonight with the Guardians.
Yes, they have a day off today in the NLCS as they travel across the country from Los Angeles to Queens. Citi Field is where they will be tomorrow night for game number three. We were on the air yesterday for the early part of this game. Mets jumping out to a 6-0 lead on the Dodgers. They were able to hold on to that for a 7-3 final. Series now tied one game apiece. The big blow early on, Mark Vientos, Scotty. The grand slam after they walked Lindor intentionally. Mets radio 880 for Howie.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing on a drive in the air, pretty well hit right center. Paez back at the track, near the wall. It is gone! A grand slam for Mark Vientos on a 3-2 pitch. He clears the bases, hitting it into the pavilion in right center field. Mark Vientos with the Mets' second grand slam of the postseason, his third postseason home run, has given the Mets a 6-0 lead.
Honest to God, this guy calling these games, he's just so fantastic. I mean, can you even, like, we played the Sterling against this guy. It's embarrassing. It really is. Like, they dusted this guy out of the old folks' home. There's no disrespect. I mean, the guy's 150. But honestly, the guy retired. I've never seen a guy retire. And then they, what is he, a boxer? The guy comes back for one last fight. You know, what is he, Tyson? Okay, now you got this guy, Howie Rose, going again. There's no one even close to him doing anything. They got this guy, Davis, doing Dodger game. He can't hold his onions either. Howie Rose setting the bar, like, so far above everyone else. Like, can you imagine Bob Costas doing those games compared to Howie Rose? It's laughable.
No.
It really is.
Howie has done.
Someone tells him all this that I've been saying about him over these last few weeks. Like, I've never heard anyone call games this exciting on the radio in my life. Howie's killing it.
Howie has been outstanding so far in the booth for the Mets, so they will head home now 1-1. Now, Lindor opened that game with that solo home run in the top of the first inning, leadoff homer for him. Carlos Mendoza said, yes, Vientos had the big blow, but it was Lindor who set the tone for what was going to happen out in Los Angeles.
Not just because of the homer, but the way he attacked him, foul off a couple of pitches, laid off a couple of breaking balls, and then got a pitch and drove it to kind of set the tone, right? But I thought overall we had really good at-bats up and down, and obviously Vientos with the big one. But especially as a pitching staff, what they've done the past few games, and it's been hard on a bullpen day where you don't know what you're going to be facing. For us to get the first one across the board was important.
Listen, Mike, the Phillies found out the hard way. The Dodgers better be very careful because the Mets are so good. They really are. I mean, just playing phenomenal baseball. And they could literally come home and win all three games at Citi Field. I know that sounds insane, but they took both games from the Phillies and it was over. That was it. They played games 3 and 4 and it was over.
Look, I think that I still believe the Mets are going to win this series. I don't think they'll do what they did to the Phillies and go to New York and take every game. I think they'll take 2 out of 3 at home. And I think they'll need one in L.A. I think they'll need to get one of game 6 or 7 going back out there. I think the Dodgers are are too good. I don't think they'll sweep them all three games. Now, the problem for the Dodgers is, though,
they've been jinxed, you know, by the snake.
Their pitching is suspect. We know that. Even though they just went all those innings without giving up a run, I understand that. But in terms of who's going to go when, and I guess you could say, all right, they got a little bit of a problem with Ohtani right now, right? I mean, he's 0 for 19 with the bases empty. Now, look, that's a tough stat. Obviously, he leads off the games. He has a 38% strikeout rate, which is one of the highest in the playoffs so far. So like Judge, Ohtani has struggled here in the playoffs. Dave Roberts doesn't seem completely concerned about it, though.
I thought he didn't look comfortable versus Manaea. The heater's away. You can see he was just kind of trying to keep the ball away from Shohei. That's what they're going to do. Shohei's very good with the ball close to him. So they're just going to, you know, stay away, hard away. And if it's spin, it's going to be away. Just to feel comfortable. And then after that, I thought the righties that came in, you know, they weren't about to give in too many. At least he took his walks.
Yeah, you know.
They're not going to say a bad word about a guy they give $1 billion to, ever.
No.
The guy could not have a hit for 2 months and they'd still nob him.
At least he took his walks, your man said up there. All right. But I do notice watching him that the Mets seem to be doing something very specific, and Dave mentioned it there. Everything is to the outside. Everything. They are not letting him get anything on the inner half, because that's where he pulverizes everything.
Kill you.
On the inside. And the Mets pitchers have been good enough so far, and most of the guys in the Padres, I think he had one homer in the Padres series, where everybody's just leaving him outside. If he wants to go take it to left field, by all means, go ahead and do it. But they are not going to let him turn inside. You make a mistake to him, he's going to make you pay. Yeah, that's it. Game three tomorrow night, 8 o'clock East first pitch. So we'll do more on it tomorrow on C2C. Luis Severino will go for the Mets. I know the Dodgers sometimes juggle a lot of balls in the air, but it's going to be Walker Buehler, it sounds like. They got this as a pick'em right now, minus 110 both ways. 7.5 is the total. I saw Mafia also note here that the Mets are pulling out the black alternate jerseys tomorrow night. I guess that's supposed to scare everybody. The black alternate jerseys at home for game number 3.
We will be pulling out the footage of our boy Grimace on the 7 train as the Mets take game 3 in Queens and go up 2-1 on the vaunted Dodgers. Here we go. Mets. They'll get it done. Grimace, it's all evolving rapidly.
I think they're going to get it done, too. I think they'll win tomorrow night. I'm going to stay with my 2 out of 3 at home. I think they'll lose the Yamamoto game. I think Yamamoto found a little something last start. And they think. But you're 6 wins away from the Subway Series. You're 3 Yankee wins and 3 Met wins away from you having yourself a bit. This town going to be off the charts if you get the Mets and the Yankees a couple weeks from now. And I mean, and I'm bringing that crew. I got the Cape Cod Irish Open next weekend. And imagine games 1 and 2 of the World Series. They hate us already up there, those people at Cape Cod. You're going to have all the Met and Yankee fans for a Subway Series game up at the Cape Cod Irish Open. Oh, they're going to hate that next weekend. They're going to hate that. Screw them. That's the day.
The Patriots season 2 up there.
Oh, I love that. There's nothing wrong with that for the Patriots.
Man. What are you gonna
being
do
so
about
bad.
It?
Last thing on this, Clayton Kershaw allegedly wants to give it a go in 2025.
He should get a go to hell. Honestly, he's
finished.
Well,
he doesn't have to go there, but maybe just not pitch. Maybe he should stop. Maybe he should stop pitching. Maybe that should be where he should go.
I mean, honestly, do we really have to go through this again where we're going to talk about this guy once every 3 months like he's alive or something? Like, honestly,
I think the best days are behind him, and he needs to just understand that at this point. All right, we will come back, and we will start to get into some college football. We have actually about 3 games on a Tuesday night. Little Sun Belt Conference USA. And then I've got for you We always start the week with the biggest games on Tuesday. I'll give you the numbers for some of the biggest games. Indiana making the biggest games list this week. That's right. The Hoosiers got a big one on Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Usually the Tuesday night games are wild in college football. I know they were last week with some crazy scoring, and you got three more tonight.
Yeah, these games typically are a little zany, right? Like, I know you don't get to see these teams too often. I always say to you, I think it's smart that Sun Belt and Conference USA, and when we get later in the year, the MAC plays these games on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, because would you ever see these teams on Saturday?
No.
No. But there's a chance you're going to catch a little Ferrella Sauce State in Middle Tennessee tonight. I mean, anything's possible. La Tech. I mean, I feel like I've watched this New Mexico State team more this year than I have in my entire life already. They're taking on La Tech, and La Tech's 12-point favorite, now 11.5 on the road. You've got Middle Tennessee favored over Ferrella Sauce, and Troy visiting South Alabama in the Sun Belt. South Alabama, 11.5-point favorites with a 54.5 total.
Yeah, I laid 10.5 with Louisiana Tech. I bet the under in the Ferrella Sauce State game at Middle 10, and I got it at under 51.5. It's 50 and a hook now. I'm seeing 49 and a hook at this very minute. That game's at 8 on CBS Sports Network. The 7:30 game is Troy and South Alabama. And I like South Bama at home. I think Troy looks awful this year. But I definitely, I bet the Louisiana Tech, I laid 10.5. It moved to 11.5 now.
There you go. Some college football action for you tonight. Maybe the Yankees will, you know, get up 8, 9, 10, 11, nothing in that game against the Guardians, and you want to flip over and check out some college football action. You have it. All right, we have ourselves a very big week in terms of heavy hitter matchups for this Saturday in college. Want to give you the first look at a few of these. Alabama coming off the close call win at home against South Carolina, go to Knoxville to see Tennessee, who also coming off a close call overtime win over Florida at home. Of course, it is the third Saturday in October. 5-1 Alabama, 5-1 Tennessee. Alabama right now, I know they got 2.5 on the board there. I'm also seeing threes at some spots. 56.5 with Bama as the road favorite.
I got to tell you, they have, in my view, looked terrible the last 2 weeks. I thought they looked terrible at Bryant Denny on Saturday against South Carolina. They like literally almost blew the game. They should have blown it. They should have gone to overtime. I thought South Carolina choked. I mean, they had the game right there in their fingertips, and the quarterback threw the ball away. And otherwise, you could have gone to overtime. You never know what happens. So I think that everyone and their brother, because Tennessee somehow found a way to beat Florida in Knoxville, they had no business being that close with Florida. Florida outplayed them all day in Knoxville. I give Billy Napier credit. His team outplayed Tennessee all day, and they lost. I think Alabama's going to go in there and beat them. I think everyone is betting on Tennessee to beat Alabama because Alabama lost to Vanderbilt, could have lost to South Carolina, and people think they're weak and that they're vulnerable, and that may very well be the case, but they are 5-1. They keep finding a way, except for the game in Nashville, right? So now it's a question of, can they cover by 3? They're laying 2.5. But I have a sneaking suspicion that DeBoer and Alabama show up in Knoxville, and that's a game on Saturday. It's going to be a hell of a game.
It is going to be a hell of a game, and that, of course, is a 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern kick there at Neyland. The night game in the SEC is also a heavy hitter game as Georgia heads to Austin to see the Longhorns in the first real, you know, big game for Texas here against the old SEC guard. I know they played Oklahoma last week. They always play Oklahoma. They played Mississippi State. They suck. Now they have Georgia coming to town to see them. Texas, 3.5-point favorites. 56.5 is the total in this one. man, Georgia, they already have been to Tuscaloosa. Now they got to go to Austin and face Texas.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought they looked, besides Beck, I thought the rest of them looked average against a real porous Mississippi State team that's done absolutely nothing. But they showed up at Sanford Stadium in Athens and gave them a game. Doesn't that, like, open anyone's eyes that Georgia might be overrated? Like, they haven't done anything this year except struggle. I say they lose in Austin to this Texas team. This Texas team has everything. Running game, quarterback, passing. They got receivers. They got speed. They got talent on defense. They have a defense. They kicked Oklahoma's ass at the Cotton Bowl. I think Texas handles their business against Georgia because they're playing that game at Memorial in Austin, and that's that. Georgia, to me, they're not even handling their own business at home. What were they laying, 32 and a hook? They won by 10. They haven't looked good to me at all. I think their quarterback is good. I think it'll be a good game, but I think Ewers and Texas is a touchdown better than Georgia.
Yeah, I think that game being in Austin also is a big factor here. Under the lights, that crowd's going to be, as we always like to say, they're going to be gassed up there in Austin. Like, they're going to get a lot of fuel in the tank with that being a night game down there. So it'll be a very rowdy crowd. Miami, haven't seen them the last couple weeks after they had a bye last week. They are going to Louisville, of course, 6-0, the Canes. In to see the Cardinal, they're 4.5-point favorites here on the road, 61.5, very big total for us here in Louisville this game.
Yeah, Miami's not covering in this football game. I think that they can win the game at Louisville. I don't think they can cover and win by 5. I really don't. This to me is a 2 or a 3, possibly a 1-point game. Every game Miami plays that's tough. Every game they play that's tough, the Vatek game, the Cal game, was brutally close. They had no business beating Vatek. They got lucky with a call. Then they had no business down 35-10 at Berkeley, and they win 39-38. This will be the same thing, a 1 or a 2-point game with Louisville. It's going to be close. Louisville's tough. Now, I know Louisville has lost at home, but they are tough. This is their Super Bowl. This is the only game they got left that matters. Miami will have their hands full on Saturday at Louisville. If they win, it's lucky. They won't cover.
Yeah, noon East kick there in Louisville for that game with the 4.5 number. All right, we'll come back. I'll give you the Indiana game and then some other stuff with the Heisman, including the kid from Boise State, Jenkins.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I think Nebraska has a quarterback. I don't think the rest of that team is that impressive to me. I think the Rule's doing a good job in Lincoln, better than Frost did. And now they got a huge game at Bloomington and Memorial against the Hoosiers, 6-0. Cignetti's got that offense rolling. All of those players he brought over from Madison have proved at JMU to be very effective in the Big Ten for Indiana. They're excited. They score 40 or more a week. They cover. They go over. They need to keep winning, and they need to beat Nebraska. They need to beat Michigan to get to that Ohio State game undefeated is the only way, in my view, that Indiana makes that 12, the playoffs.
I agree with you. They need to keep rolling here, and this is a noon East kickoff. It's actually the big game on Fox on Saturday. 6-0 Indiana, now 6.5-point favorites over Nebraska with this total at 50.5. Now, look, I think Indiana's going to win the game, Scotty. I don't know about that 6.5.
Yeah.
That seems very troublesome, but you know what I've loved all year, and I've hit it a lot, and I'm going right back to the well. That 50.5 is light. Indiana scores tons of points, Cignetti scores, and I think Rayola's going to be able to score for Nebraska as well. So it's one of my favorite things this week is that over 50.5 in Indiana, Nebraska.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think it's an over, and I think this is a field goal game. I don't think they cover 6.5 against that quarterback. You cannot, again, leave that many points on the table with a quarterback that can backdoor you Led Zeppelin style. I mean, honestly, this guy will sling it for four quarters. He can flat out play. That's why they're 5-1. That's why Rhule has a winner in Lincoln, because they got a quarterback. Anytime you have a quarterback, you start giving them 6.5 points. Christ, Indiana might be down in this game. They might have to kick a field goal to win the game. I think it's too close. Too many points. I'm with you. Over, and I would take the Huskers in the 6.5. I want Indiana to win. Don't get me wrong. But I think they got their hands full on Saturday afternoon on Fox. That's a really good game for Fox to air.
Yeah, it is. Nice job by them getting the Hoosiers into that big noon kickoff spot.
I wonder if the governor's calling in a game.
Is that right?
I don't know. Governor, but he might be.
Maybe. We'd have to. Usually the big noon kickoff is Gus. Gus usually gets
Gus and, the noon and the Fox. Quarterback clat.
So they get the bit, you know, the governor gets like the 10:30 at night kick somewhere.
What a shame.
I mean, they put the
what
governor on real late. But I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow, some more racks. We'll start to get into the rack week. There's a lot of other big games. Boise State running back, of course, Aston Genty has rushed for 200-plus yards four times in the first six games this year. This kid has been unbelievable, and you sent me this today. And I thought it would be interesting to show. And that is, of course, what has he done compared to some of the other guys that have won the Heisman as a running back through their first six games? Look at these numbers. He's got 1,248 yards. Henry had 665. Ingram had 659. Bush had 761. Look at the tutties. 17 rushing touchdowns. Look at these guys. 10, 7, and 9. The numbers are staggering when
staggering.
You compare him with other guys who have won. But the caveat, Scotty, which will be the one with the voters all year, because he's going to keep putting up the video game numbers. The problem is he plays for Boise State, and he's not playing. Like, look at those guys on Alabama. Who are they playing against? SEC competition.
Yeah.
He's not playing for a Texas or a Georgia. That's going to be his issue as we get later into the year.
You can't deny what he's doing is special. No one's suggesting that it isn't. It's just that, and no disrespect, because Boise's got a good football team, but look who they play. I mean, that's just bottom line. And you can say whatever you want out there in Boise. You just have to come to grips with the fact that it's the reality of it. But look, if this guy racks up another dime, they might very well give it to him. I mean, if this guy puts up another dime already, I mean, if this guy puts up 2,400, 2,500 yards, it's over.
If he doubles that, he's got six more games. If he doubles that and it's 2,500,
he's got to get it.
And 30 touchdowns, let's just say. Let's say he doesn't even get the same pace. He only gets 30.
Then just give it
to him. That's hard to ignore. But these voters have now made it more of an MVP award than a who's the best player in college football award. So I think that's also... that exact Cam Ward, especially if Miami goes on
the award. If he loses, he'll lose all experience.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Love hooking up with the sportsbook and Sigliere about a thing. And you catch him on Bostonian versus the Book. And he's an original Yinzer, badass Pittsburgh boy. And God bless him for that. I have to tell you, I said on the show the other day that I think yesterday I said that the best thing that happened to me, like in a month, was seeing you put up that video of 64 years ago, the Gunner, man. Bob Prince. Now, I named my son Gunner, okay, after Bob Prince. And to see that video of him in living color, in color television from 1960 after Hal Smith and Mazeroski went back-to-back to beat the Yankees, that interview that he did that on that dais with every single player and Frick, the commissioner – all of them. He asked every single person no more than one or two questions. Most of them one question.
Yep.
That was the greatest display of interviewing skill I've ever seen from a reporter or a play-by-play guy in my life. He just got right to it with every guy. And the minute he was done with him, he shoved him off the stage and yanked the next guy up. And people forget how important Hal Smith was to that game. Oh. And the series, the Yankees dominated, broke every record in baseball history in a World Series, and the Pirates still beat them.
Unbelievable. First of all, great to see you. Been too long. That video got me in the feels because that happened before I was born, but you always heard about it. And then being a little kid and hearing Gunner was one of those things that, like, that was our summer guy. Like, that was our guy in Pittsburgh. So seeing that video, you know, fixed and in color, it was great. And he made it a point to get every guy up there. There wasn't one guy that he didn't get up there and just ask a question or two to be recognized. You could see and hear the joy in every answer.
It was unbelievable.
Scott, one more time. Can we just get one more time Pittsburgh? Just one more. Because,
one more.
You know, 1992 happened, and I tweeted that one as well because that one still hurts. As good as the 60 was in 71, 79 was my favorite moment of all time, the Pirates, We Are Family team. But that 92 was a kick right in the gut, right in the groin. It still hurts today.
Yeah, I went to the 71 and 79 World Series with my dad. And I saw him beat the Orioles both times. And the 79 was unbelievable. And they can't sniff it now because they got a $50 million payroll. But they got a great fan base. They got a great pitcher. They got another pitcher, Jones, that's got a lot of talent. They're close to being competitive. And I just thought that clip that you ran on X was just utterly fantastic. So great call by you. Incredible stuff. Now let's talk about the Steelers for a second. After you saw today that they got Adams, the Jets, and they're playing the Steelers Sunday night, what was your first reaction? And then to hear today that I got to listen to, they're going to start Russell Wilson, and they're close to naming him the starter, that he's, you know, they're having these conversations. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I want to believe it. I don't know if I can even take it, because I don't see how you yank a guy that got it done in Vegas and had two tutties and threw some ropes to Pickens. I know he had bad plays. I know he had some bad passes. I know he did this and that. I don't care. He won. How do you yank this guy? He's 4-2 to play a guy that hasn't played in a year.
I have no idea what's going on. I went to the eye doctor today and got my eyes dilated. They gave me these fancy glasses, not these ones. These are my own. But I had to put them on. I had to think about it and go, what am I seeing, or what is everyone else seeing that they're not seeing? The Steelers are 4-2, and they can't really – they don't have any big play capability. They're doing it, grinding out drives, maintaining the ball, not really turning it over.
Right.
And he's doing it behind a makeshift offensive line. The ability that Fields has to get away from pressure – and out of problems is, I mean, Russ better be 100% healthy. Not only that, but does the locker room have the trust of him? Like, what are we doing? If they're 2-4, it's an easy decision. They're 4-2. The line last night before the game was Steelers -1, 1.5.
Right.
The trade flipped it. The information cemented it. The Jets are now the favorite, -1.5. There's a 2 out there. The Jets are going to go off as the favorite in Pittsburgh on a Sunday night, Scotty. Now, you know what that means. I mean, come on.
I sold my tickets to the Jet and Giant game. I was going to go to the Monday night game. The following week, they play the Giants on Monday night. Giants. So double prime times in a row, Sunday night, and then a week later on Monday Night Football. But I sold them both. And I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in the decision. I think that he hasn't earned the right to be the starter. I think Fields is the starter, and I think he's broken ankles. He's rushed for several touchdowns. Najee finally had a game. The only way I say they get it done here with him starting in this tester, it's a tester game if you ask me. You're testing if this guy can go out and do better than Fields. He can't run for Shaq. I mean, this guy, he's a fat ass to begin with his big hips. He can't run at all. He can throw the ball a little bit. I'll give you that. But yeah. I think Fields has done enough in my book to earn the room and to earn the job and to keep the job until he screws it up. And when you're 4-2, he hasn't screwed anything up. I want to get your thoughts on, do you think that TJ Watt and that pass rush can take Aaron Rodgers' head off? Because that's what I'm hoping for.
I think so. I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I think what everyone is kind of overlooking is, oh, yeah, the Jets' offense, are they going to be that much better? I don't know. Are guys that are getting the ball now not going to get the ball? Maybe. I mean, we're going to institute all this in a week. Oh, yeah, we're going to go back to like we did it. We're going to just run it back like we did in Green Bay. Hold on. They don't even know who's calling the plays. There's a lot of turmoil that I don't think you just fix right, you know, in literally 5 days. They play Sunday night. I agree with you. I think Fields should start. And if they lose or he looks bad against, I think, an above-average defense, the Jets defense is definitely in the top half of the league and can make plays, then maybe switch for the Monday night game against the Giants. But man, not now. I think this is a panic button. I think it's a panic button move.
I think they can beat the Giants on the Monday nighter. I'm concerned about this game. I will say the reason I didn't go is because they wanted to put me at some airport hotel. I'm not driving 40 minutes to the game from the airport to the north side. I stay on the north side or I stay at the point there in the hotels. I'm not staying at the airport and like going to the airport hotel bar to get my rocks off. I got to be on the north side with all the restaurants, you know, the Hyde Park Steak. Yeah. I'm next to PNC. I'm at the stadium. I'm tailgating. I'm at Tom's Watch Bar. I have no time to be out at the airport and I lose my temper. I got 1 minute. Who do you like in the Mets shift to Citi Field in those three games? And who do you like in the ALCS?
Well, I'm wearing the Muhammad Ali shirt today because, one, I always wear these things. Sometimes when I go to the doctor, you know what I mean. Right. Sometimes you just got to get in that mental state of mind like you're in a fight. I think there's going to be a fight. I really think this is going to be a battle. Now, if teams win this in a seven-game series, I got this from MLB Network today, and I wanted to give it to you on the show. 91 times seven-game series have been played. 84% of the time when a team wins the first two games, they win the series. That's 76-15. So it's a must-win tonight for Cleveland. And I brought it out. I mean, I had to bring it up. I'm ready to do it. Because you want to fight. We're going to fight.
Get him off. I used to love him. Let me hear you. I hate him. I hope you fall down your stairs again. Yeah, I hope your daughter shoves you down the stairs.
Go ahead. I got it. Get out of here with that.
Get this guy off of my Cleveland. You and your...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You will never see me wearing a Cleveland hat, Carver High, as you know. And then this guy coming on and you know, trying that sneaky move right there at the end, just slipping that hat on. It's just really a slap in the face. Like it was like a train derailment. Everything was going great. We had it all. Killer segment. Good to see him. The sportsbook consigliere. And then boom, he just did a Houdini on me and then came out wearing Cleveland clothes. And I'm just like, he's like, you got to root for small bar. I said, I didn't root for Cleveland in anything.
I thought that was highly inappropriate, by Dave. Like it just really wasn't necessary. Move. Root for the small markets. No, this is going to be a big market.
Yeah.
World Series one way or the other. New York, LA, or New York, New York.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, Middle America.
You
finished.
Lose.
No small markets this
you
year.
Lose.
Get Arizona, Texas last year.
Go ahead.
You've had it.
That was terrible.
I know. It was terrible. All right. Let me finish up a couple of other things that we have here for you. All right. We had the Heisman conversation, but I never gave you the odds for where this kid is right now. He is the favorite, Genty. And now at plus 175,
now Gabriel,
Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward, and Jalen Milroe right after in there. Cam Ward still at 650, good price.
Yeah, like, it's so funny to me how Cam Ward keeps slipping down the board as he keeps having gigantic games. Every game but one. Every game but one, over 400 yards and four tutties. One game, 390 yards and four tutties. And all I get is he keeps going down the board. They were idle, so that's why. Dylan Gabriel beats Ohio State, so now he's ahead of him too. I don't agree with any of these odds. Every week it gets worse. It gets worse every week that you show it to me.
You got to buy the dip. And I think if you're a Cam Ward backer, you're buying the dip this week. Like you said, they didn't play last week. So there's nothing fresh in anyone's minds. All everybody sees is Gabriel beat Ohio State. The kid rip off another, 200 yards and three touchdowns. That's what's fresh in everyone's mind. So that's what happens. So maybe you get Ward a nice price this week moving forward. Utah, another lost year for Cam Rising. Now
give up already.
I almost fell down when I saw this last night. And I send to your boy Joey Prawns, like, right before you send it to me. I cannot believe they're letting this kid get another year. He's not a kid. I shouldn't even say that anymore. I can't believe they're letting this guy get another year.
Is literally getting social security checks. He's been around so long.
He's out for the rest of the season, medical redshirt. Even Whittingham at this point yesterday was like, I mean, I guess we'll discuss it. I don't know how he feels about
honestly,
it. Like,
Mike, stop.
I mean, enough.
Stop already. Enough. This kid, like, he's had it. He's on his third wife. He's got five kids. He's got two in college. I mean, this guy has been in college football longer than anyone in history. 8 years he's going to play college football. He can't stay healthy for 5 minutes. Give it up already, dude. Not only is he finished, in my opinion, in college football, he should stop playing college football. It's embarrassing. He's literally on his third job in like the real world. He shouldn't be in college football. It shouldn't even be allowed. And secondly, he's not playing in the NFL either. He is the most overrated quarterback I've ever heard in my life. I mean, honestly, like, stop already with this Cam Rising. I'd rather have Bad Moon Rising. And he was a baller.
Cam Rising will be 26 years old in May.
Stop.
Is how old he will turn.
You should not be allowed to be in college at that age unless
I'll
you're
tell you
in getting your residency as a med school.
I'll make your prediction. He's going to play college football next year, but it won't be for Utah. He's going to go play in some lower level school, some other Mountain West school.
Stop.
He's going to go play for. Notre Dame flips four-star quarterback Blake Herbert from Clemson to the Irish. That's good considering. Then they lose a kid like a week or two ago that went to Auburn.
Yeah.
So they had to go get somebody. So there you go for that. How about hockey?
Everybody loves hockey.
There's actually a lot of games tonight. Penguins won in Montreal last night, 6-3.
Lars Eller.
Islanders won in Colorado, 6-2 last night. Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-1. Before we get to the games, I mean, you got to be kidding me here. Now, I couldn't show you the Bleacher Creatures, but I'll show you a hockey stick of beer. I mean, that's always on the agenda.
That is fantastic.
I mean, look at this at the Blackhawk game this year.
Just,
I mean,
fantastic.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, somebody
the
could lose an
ounce.
Eye. If you're, like, drinking it in the seats, you might hit someone in the eye with that thing. You could get an eye cut. But that is a fantastic 24-ounce beer. Now, listen, as you know, I like liquor. Beer's for college kids. But I would drink a 24-ounce beer with you at a hockey game. That looks just refreshing.
That's outstanding. Nice job by the Blackhawks there. All right, here we go. Hockey tonight, lots of games. Let's go. Vancouver's in Tampa against the Lightning. Lightning favored -137, 6.5 the total.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how bad Vancouver has looked so far. I think I'll take the Lightning at home. They need to win for the people down in the Gulf Coast. They haven't played a game in a while. Everybody's flooded out, all the homes.
Yeah.
People are suffering. Give me a Lightning win tonight at Amalie.
Vegas is in D.C. against the Caps. Vegas out to a 3-0 start here. They're -130 with a 5.5 total.
I mean, Vegas is hot, 3-0, but at some point, right, do the Capitals, like, wake up and realize they're in the regular season and the games count? I could see the Capitals winning on home ice tonight and cooling off Vegas. Vegas here will be bored with this team tonight.
Devils out to a 4-1 start with 8 points already. They're in Carolina against the Hurricanes. Carolina minus -165 with a 6.5 total.
Canes haven't won a game yet. Tonight they win in Raleigh.
I think so, too. Florida is in Columbus. Emotional night, Scotty, of course, as they'll be doing all the Goudreau stuff pregame for the Blue Jackets and the Panthers. Panthers minus -146.5 total.
Panthers won yesterday in the afternoon. Have to play in this environment tonight where everybody's going to be crying and they're playing this game for Goudreau's. I think Columbus wins the game at that price, plus +134.
I'm with you on Columbus tonight for all of those reasons. We'll come back and rip through all the rest of it.
All right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the rest of those hockey games, Mike.
Yeah, let's go. Minnesota is in St. Louis against the Blues tonight. Wild minus -125, 5.5 the total here.
Yeah, I like the Blues at even money. I saw them today. I got them at even money.
Yeah. Seattle is in Nashville against the Predators. Predators off to an 0-2 start. They are minus -170 tonight against the Kraken with a 5.5.
That ends tonight. Preds in Smashville at the Bridgestone.
Dallas 3-0 to start the season. They have the Sharks coming in tonight to Big D. Heavy lumber here, minus -385 for the Stars.
Puck line it, Stars.
Blackhawks are in Calgary. 3-0 start for the Flames here, as they are, of course, favorites. Minus -146 with a 6.5.
Could we get a can we get a little upset here tonight at Saddledome with the Blackhawks? Can we get a can we get a little love at a plus 122? Can we get a little? Come on. Let's go.
Maybe possible. And finally, you mentioned earlier the Oilers are 0-3 to start the season. The Flyers finishing off the Western Canadian swing to start the year. Oilers minus -225, 6.5.
There's no way I'm laying that. And I think they bust out tonight and finally win. There is no way they keep losing, right? So I'd puck line Edmonton. And
puck
I know
line
you're leftovers.
Edmonton. Oh, I got tons. I got a ton of leftovers here for you. We, of course, are getting a little bit closer to the start of the NBA season. Lots of preseason games going on, which means lots of injuries. Wow, what a surprise. Paul George got hurt last night for the Sixers. It's a bone bruise. No structural damage to his left knee. He'll be reevaluated in approximately 1 week for George. So that was the injury for him last night. Meanwhile, the Sixers are going to sit Embiid for the rest of the preseason. Why not? Because he never plays. In fact, he said yesterday he might not ever play in back-to-back games again so that they could keep him healthy. That's a lot of games. These teams play a lot of back-to-back games.
I think they got Drummond now. That he'll be their go-to guy at the five when he doesn't play.
I mean, he's kind of washed.
He's terrible. He rebounds. I'll give him that.
He can rebound. But and finally, to complete the trifecta of always injured players, Clippers rule Kawhi Leonard out for the rest of the preseason as he won't be playing either. Why not? Who will be playing? Lonzo Ball is going to play for the Bulls Wednesday night in a preseason game against Minnesota. How about that? You know what? I'll say this. We joke a lot. I hope he plays every game this year and he stays healthy. He's gone through hell the last 2 years. He never played. I hope Ball actually stays on the court and plays. Let's just hope that for him.
He and his brother are both really good players.
Yes, they absolutely are. De'Aaron Fox is going to wait till next offseason, 2025, to ink an extension. That's because he can get like $70 million if he waits until next offseason. Doc Rivers is confident Chris Middleton will be ready for opening night.
That'll be
the only night that he's ready. Wembanyama's the most bet player to win the MVP, the defensive player of the year, and the most improved player. First of all, he's already a badass. He shouldn't be the most improved player. And just give him every award now. Wembanyama, why not? The NBA says the players can't use their cell phones now from tip-off. to the end of the game. The policy used to be only social media. Now it's no cell phones whatsoever. I will give you the college basketball KenPom ratings tomorrow. Here on Coast to Coast.
All right, Brella finished. Diddy hit with shocking claims of rapes and assaults, including a New York City Macy's stockroom rape, allegedly, and death threats to male and female victims in a new lawsuit, that they're threatening witnesses and anyone that was the victim. They're threatening them now. They're going to kill them if they talk. Diddy's finished. He's going to be like R. Kelly. They should be roommates. Breonna Stewart's wife hit with a vicious anti-gay email saying, quote, "I hope you both die," end quote. Isn't that lovely? Minnesota mom admits to sexually abusing two teen hockey players she met in a hot tub during a hotel staycation. That is just disturbing on all kinds of levels. Migrant who threatened to cut off a woman's fingers in a brutal robbery is a Tren de Aragua gangbanger. That is the gang that is trying to take over Times Square and scare people everywhere. Love Island USA contestant, whatever that is, her name's Hannah Smith, allegedly charged with terroristic threats for threatening to kill a cop. GTD is next. You've got to go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. Please do it. You're going to love what you see. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Coast to Coast.